religion, or entertainment. What are we doing here? This is Father Vazgen. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the emotional, psychological, physical, and everything in between. We look at life through the most ancient of all Christian fabrics, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. This is episode number 600 of The Next Step, and I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Vazgen. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vazgen brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
It certainly is a milestone, isn't it? 600 podcasts. Can you believe that? We are at number 600, just hard to believe, especially today when just about everybody, or it seems like just about everybody, has a podcast. We started off when nobody knew what a podcast was. I'll never forget having to explain it to people. And today, most everybody's kind of got a handle on what podcasting is. But you got to remember, 12 years ago when we started this, 600 episodes ago, It was like the Wild West. It was uncharted territory. It was novelty. But today, well, we're just heard all over the place, you know, on iTunes, on Stitcher, Blueberry, on the Podbean, every kind of place that you could imagine, even on In His Shoes, right? You could just go straight there and get it. But I am not here to tell you about the old times. In fact, I read something very interesting last night. It was in this magazine, LA Parents. I believe that's the name of it. One of those freebies. Actually, I go crazy in those newsstands. I pick up all those freebies. And I was just reading this, and it caught my attention because it's about forgiveness. It's about starting over No, I'm not going to say forgive us for the last 599 podcasts. I know some of you probably want me to say that. No, I'm just talking about the past, about the importance to move forward. But I love this. It says, people will hurt you. Try to forget the offense as soon as possible. As soon as possible. Got that? Let yourself heal from it. Then let the past cannibalize the wrong. Because if you carry the wrong will cannibalize you. And let's move beyond wrong. Let's talk about just the past, about history for the sake of history. A lot of times people just live in the past. And you know what happens is they start looking at the past and there's like no growth from it. And it cannibalizes you. I've seen too many people, and especially not just individuals. I've seen this collectively, as groups, as churches, as organizations, as a people, as a nation, people who live in the past and forget to celebrate the today. That's right, yeah, you celebrate the past. We have birthdays, anniversaries, we remember all that, but celebrate the today. So I don't want to do that. This is not about the 600 that we did. It's talking about where we're at today with 600 behind us and how thankful we are. I mean, I'm thankful to all of you. I usually do this toward the end of the show. I thank everybody for their thoughts, their prayers, but I want to thank you right off the top for making us who we are, for making this podcast what it is, for just being here, for being with us, for praying for us. I can't thank you enough. This is like the ultimate therapy. Have you ever thought about it? Thank you for listening, because I get to come. I mean, I love this. 600 episodes, I've got to come in front of this microphone and just, well, it's, like I said, it's therapeutic. It's like just dump, to be able to say what's on my mind and share it with you and know that there are people that it is connecting with, connecting the dots of the subjects, but also connecting between us. So thank you. It's really an honor and a privilege to have you as my family, the next step family. And I mean that wholeheartedly. Thank you. Listen, I want to take you to some cool places today. Because something happened, and this all falls into episode number 600. Because we'll talk about like why we're doing this and the importance of this. Because you have talked to me about that. You have shared that with me. And I want to give you a perspective, it from a different perspective. All of it, like usual, just kind of like happens in life. And so it was this past weekend. Thanksgiving weekend. Something unusual happens here in America. I think it's an American phenomena. No, not Thanksgiving. We'll talk about the commercialization. We'll talk about Black Friday in a few moments too. No, but I'm talking about XM radio. Do you know what that is? It's satellite radio. And if you buy a car, they usually give you this 6-month trial of the XM radio system. So the car has a built-in antenna to connect to the satellite, and you get some great programming. It's like a few hundred channels that you get to listen, and they have some top names that you get to connect with, people that is bizarre why they would be so popular. But anyway, they use their names, and they connect people to it. And if you are, I don't want to say smart, because I think it's also a necessity. I personally have never subscribed to XM radio, to satellite radio. And probably the reason is not because I'm smarter than anybody else, although I want to make that claim, but it's because practically you don't need it. I live in a very large city. I live in the Los Angeles area. I have a multitude of stations. I have, every possible means of listening to whatever I feel like. I don't feel like I need to add that on. Now, I will tell you, having driven through Utah, Wyoming, Montana, having driven over in the East Coast through some of those rural areas, I realize that there are places where, yeah, there are, maybe you have all of a selection of 2 or 3 radio stations, and some of them are pretty far out there. So you'd maybe want to have this satellite radio communication, okay? So last weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, XM Radio sent me a letter, and I assume to hundreds of thousands of ex-listeners. In other words, after my 6 months was over, I didn't renew it. So got a letter, and it said, we'd like to give you a chance to reconnect. In fact, we are going to offer you a week of XM radio, of satellite radio, so you can see what you have been missing. Oh, that's not the right word, is it? So you can hear what you have been missing. So, yeah, freebie. So it was kind of very special. You know, Thanksgiving Day, whenever I drove for that last week, I would take advantage of the satellite radio in my car and get to listen to all kinds of great stations, mostly music. I love the 60s and the 70s station. XM6 and XM7, XM18 was one of my favorites too. XM32 or 33, The Bridge. Oh, I love it. Anyway, I am scrolling through, taking advantage of this offer and seeing what's on there. And I get to the main topics. So the satellite feed is broken up into different concentrations. So there's pop music, there's rock and roll music, there's jazz, there's classical stations, and so on and so on. There's comedy, okay? But under the headings, this is what caught my eye, and this is what I want to share with you. There was a section called religion and a section called entertainment. So, First off, I said, let's see what's under religion. And I go to religion, and there are two channels under religion. One is the Catholic channel, and one is the Billy Graham channel. Pretty nice, huh? You've got the Roman Catholic Church, they have their programming, and you've got Billy Graham, which is basically Protestantism. You've got the Protestant Billy Graham talking there. And I want to confess to you that I've never really, of course I know who Billy Graham is, I've never really listened to an entire Billy Graham sermon. And now that I've heard one, now that I've listened to his sermons, I kind of figure out why, you know, I never clicked with the guy. First of all, let me say, very, very respected minister, minister of the gospel. He has been the confidential minister to many United States presidents. I don't know how far back, but I could tell you in my memory, I know from Nixon on, Nixon, Carter and the Reagans, all the way until his passing in 2018. He was about 100 years old, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 99, 100 years old when he passed. But he had ministered to all of the presidents, the U.S. presidents. And like I said, very, very respected minister of the gospel. So I had a chance to listen to him on XM Radio. Now, here's what I wanted to first of all share with you. Those were the two stations, Roman Catholic and Billy Graham Radio, under the religion classification. So do you get it? So like you're looking at the radio screen, the satellite radio, and it says pop music, rock and roll music, jazz, classical. There's all these divisions, and under each of the divisions, they have like 10, 20 different stations. Under religion, they had two stations, Catholic and Billy Graham Radio. The next station, the next section, excuse me, was what was interesting to me. It's called entertainment. And under entertainment, you could imagine they had their comedy shows, many different comedies. In fact, they had classical radio too, the old comics from old classical radio. This is like pre-television, before television, people would sit around a radio and be entertained. So this all comes under the classification entertainment. And what do I find under there? Joel Osteen Radio. Yeah, Joel Osteen Radio is not under religion. It's under entertainment. Yeah. This is the XM classification for satellite broadcasts. Joel Osteen under entertainment. Now, think about it for a moment. Whatever you may think of Joel Osteen, I personally enjoy listening to him. It's an enjoyment, I have to tell you that. He speaks very eloquently. I like the examples that he brings up. Not all there with the theology, but it is a pleasure listening to him. Let me say it that way. It's a pleasure. Much different from what I heard the Billy Graham broadcast, but I've listened to a lot more Joel Osteen. But entertainment, not religion. And I thought to myself, wow, he's done it. He's actually done it, what we've tried to do. Because when we talk about the next step in 600 episodes and being a voice of Armenian Orthodoxy, the real important thing is how do we make this real in our daily life? And all too often what happens is we get pigeonholed into the religion category, rather than understanding that this is bigger than religion. It's not in that religion category. Now, entertainment, there's innuendos, there's connotations that, you know, it's there to entertain. And so the, the seriousness might be questionable, right? It's entertainment. Okay, so you've got a Burns and Allen, you've got a comedian, Paula Poundstone, with her show, and then you've got Joel Osteen. You don't really want to be in that category either, right? But, on the other hand, to go beyond the religion is really what we've tried to do with the next step. and something that I found fascinating in the classification on XM Radio. Now, this is just XM Radio, and this is how they come across. But it's an important one for us to take note of, because as we're talking, what we want to do, what we should be doing, is making the gospel real in the world today. I've shared with you, I love walking, and I have this really great time in the morning, waking up with the sunrise and doing my morning walk. And I don't know. It's almost like an addiction. You have to get up and you have to walk. And every year, around the same time, I run into one of my neighbors, in that it's only an annual event because he is from Jerusalem. He is a Vartabed, a monk, a reverend father of the Jerusalem Patriarchate, and he comes and he visits his sister who lives in Pasadena. So in the mornings, he also goes for a walk, and it's kind of neat because we see each other outside, and here's a real bizarre kind of thing, right? The Armenian monk in Pasadena meeting with the Armenian priest, right, on the streets. So it's always just refreshing to see, and we get to catch up. So just a couple weeks ago, again, our paths crossed, and I said, how are you doing? Hajsurp is the official designation of the Vartabed. Literally means the Holy Father. How are you? And, you know, we exchanged our greetings. We've known each other for the last 20 years. And just a wonderful man. It's a little bit older than me. And it's a time for us to catch up on what's going on in the church and what's happening. And it's really unusual because we're standing on the corner of a street in Pasadena, both of us in our walking attire. In other words, we're not in our clerical robes. And we are standing there, but we are definitely two priests of the Armenian Church exchanging and talking about something so precious and dear to our heart, namely the Armenian Church. And we spend quite a bit of time. This one was about a one-hour stand on that corner. And, you know, of course, your whole day's messed up after that, but who cares? You know, I really go for these kind of, like, unique little expressions. The reason I'm bringing it up, think about it, okay? When I talk about Vartabed, when I talk about a monk of the Eastern Orthodox tradition, the Armenian Orthodox tradition, what comes to your mind? You think of one particular type of image. You think of that Jerusalem image. He is a monk of the Jerusalem Patriarchate. Okay, you got an image in your head, right? Monk, a Vartabed, a priest from Jerusalem, from the old city. And you know, the old city of Jerusalem has four quarters, right? This is always the mind blower for me. There's the Christian quarter. There is the Jewish quarter. There is the Muslim quarter. And the fourth one is the Armenian quarter. I mean, you know, three religions and one identified by its nation, the Armenian quarter. There we are. Right in the middle of the old city of Jerusalem, and here is this priest coming from this ancient city. And what images are conjured in your mind? And now this priest is standing on the street of Pasadena, exchanging notes with a priest who serves here in the diaspora, here in the larger diaspora, in the American diaspora, let me say it that way, in America. And we are exchanging notes. And I thought to myself, you know, this is exactly what the next step was all intended to do. It was trying to get people to understand that the church is bigger than us, that it's not just this one little image that we have in our heads, but it's an opportunity for us to really engage in a broader picture of what Christianity can be and should be. The church in Jerusalem has its unique features. It has its unique position. So think about that for a moment and think about the church here in America. Think about the church there in Australia. Think about the church there in France, the church in England, the church in Canada, and the church in Armenia. Each of these has its unique features. Now, can we be standing together? And that's what I think I look at it and I imagine it as looking from the outside. How surreal is this, that this monk from Jerusalem is standing on a corner in Pasadena talking to a priest from America and discussing it? Talk about kind of like, wow, way out there. Well, that's what it's about. That's what the next step gives us an opportunity to share from so many diverse positions the same faith. And we realize that the church, yes, it has one essential mission. It belongs to Christ, but so many different ways of expressing itself. And we have to be celebrating those different expressions. Tuesday night, we had the annual ecumenical gathering at St. Leon Cathedral. It's an annual event. This was the 10th annual event, and I was the MC for it. And in my opening statement, I talked about St. Nevses the Grace-Filled, Shnor Ali's statement, unity in essentials, liberty in secondary matters, and in all things charity or love. And that unity is in what? Unity in that, you know, we get together, and we had bishops from different backgrounds. We had from denominations as well as from the Orthodox Church. We had clergy. And I said, no matter what our title may be or what position we hold, we all come together and we bow down our head before the one who is called the Mighty One, the Wonderful Counselor, the Son of God, the I Am, or the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And so all of a sudden, in those terms, we now understand that, yeah, it's not as surreal as you might think, because these two priests standing on that corner in Pasadena have something to share. And the sharing is about a ministry that touches people. I want to share more with you in a few minutes. Let's take a break. I always play a song of the day. Now, I went back to some of the earlier ones. We used to have it in different spots. It was sometimes at the end of the show. It was like we faded out with this, not faded out, but we ended with the song of the day. Somewhere along the second or third year, we brought it to the middle and then had two sides to it. So this is what we've been doing all along, and people like it. They like what selection I'm going to pick for them. We are in the Christmas season. This is episode number 600. In celebration of that 600, I'm going to play you one of my favorites. It's called God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Jethro Tull. Thank you. Tull Christmas album called God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Sometimes gentle person, if you're going to be politically correct, but God rest ye God rest ye merry gentlemen. a hymn that's for today. Appropriately, isn't it? We've been talking about that, making it relevant, standing on that corner and talking and sharing. And anyway, we're going to be getting back into the next step in a couple moments. That song, as well as many others off of the Jethro Tull Christmas album, are available, and I will have a link on today's show notes. We are excited. Yes, we sponsored a new book and got an autographed, numbered edition of that. So kind of very special times. And this particular song I've heard many times before the album came out, actually, because it was part of Ian Anderson's repertoire. He would play it in the middle of these incredible rock concerts, talking like early 1970s, competing against Led Zeppelin. And I don't know why when everybody goes, oh, Led Zeppelin, yeah, this was like bigger. This was bigger. We'd sit there, and in the middle of everything, he'd have this incredible flute solo, and he'd break out into, surprisingly, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And when it finally came out on their Christmas album some 40 years later or 30 years later, I go, wow, now we get to enjoy the studio version of it. And I hope you enjoyed it as well. Like I said, I'll have a link on today's show notes. Do check it out.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Dun dun dun.
Back with you on this 600th episode of The Next Step. We're talking about different things, about the XM categorization of Joel Osteen under entertainment. And I was sharing with you that, yeah, it's important that we get out of the pigeonhole that they put us into as you are a religious group. Or like I said, you know, you have this idea of this monk. What could a monk be? And it becomes surreal to think that he's standing on a corner in Pasadena and talking about church. But why? Why should it be? Why should it be so surreal? Why should it be out of the ordinary? Why can't we understand that our faith, our religion, is part and parcel of our being and our life every single day of our existence? This is what defines us. This is what gives us character. This is what sets the tone for how we live. And that's been one of the objects of The Next Step. I talk about the disenfranchised. There's so many. I've run into them all the time. People who just tell me they love the Armenian Church. I mean, one of the greatest examples, think about this. Just a few months ago, Kim Kardashian takes her children to Holy Etchmiadzin and has them baptized, and she herself gets baptized. And I pick on this, whatever you may think, and it's not my business what you think, and I don't really care, because what I care about is that here's somebody who's expressing her faith without fear. I know, I heard it too. People saying, oh, she doesn't really mean it. Who are you to say that she doesn't really mean it, doesn't? No, she did it. But there is something about that expression that you need to take note of, that people feel disenfranchised, perhaps because of the years, the way things have moved, or whatever it is. You know, Eleanor Roosevelt has this beautiful statement. It's about that disenfranchisement. She says, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And I see this so many times. People come up to me and they say, you know, I don't feel like I belong in the Armenian Church. The Armenian Church is yours. If you've given it up, you've given it up. You've given up the fight. And I know, people say, well, I don't have that kind of time. Well, then it's not a priority. Make it a priority and say that nobody can take me out. I remember several years ago, one of our deacons, he had gotten into some argument with a church official, and he was so much in love with the church and believed in the church. I'll never forget his answer to that official. I can't remember if it was a priest or bishop who was, but he turned to him and he says, "If you throw me out the door of the church, I will come in through the window." And that's very profound. You go ahead, try to throw me out. It's Eleanor Roosevelt altogether, right? No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. You've given consent to be thrown out. Nobody has that right to throw you out. This is the church that Jesus Christ established. This is the ancient apostolic tradition. And that's what we try to bring through the next step. That's what this 600 has been about. It's about saying that, okay, you don't need to feel disenfranchised. There is an opportunity. You do belong. I want you to check out, there's this small little video that we made. It's called Ushatrutyan Getron. Yes, it is all in Armenian, and I hear that they're translating these, but I don't know if you're going to get the translation, but I'll make sure that there's a link on today's show notes. It's a new program, and Susie and I went on the occasion of the 600th podcast. We had an interview, and we talked about this, about the necessity for us to be able to communicate and share some of the most important thoughts and ideas that are hitting us as human beings. We wake up in the morning and you hear of tragedies, of killings, of wars, of shooters, of difficulties, and you just say, what kind of world are we living in? Well, we're living in a world where people have stopped caring. You need to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute. Christ has given me this beautiful life, and it's up to me to do something with it. It's up to me to share it with people. You know, I always have an opportunity to meet with couples who are getting married. And we have premarital counseling. And many times during my sermon, during the wedding ceremony, I will make this point that it's not about these don't do these things. You know, like you hear this so many times, you know, love is kind, love is patient, and it means you're not rude, you're not thing. But as much as there are those regulations about not being this way or that way, there are regulations also about doing things. And one of the most important parables that come out, especially for married couples, is the parable of the talents. I mean, remember that story. It is such a powerful, powerful story that Jesus has said on many occasions in the different Gospels, uniquely, a little bit different, but the point is there. It's about three guys, right? And one guy has $10,000, one guy has $5,000, and another has $1,000. Yeah, it's not fair. That's the first lesson you learn. Life isn't fair. Some people have more, some people have less. But what happens? The first guy with the 10,000 takes it and he makes 10,000 more. The second guy takes his 5,000 and makes $5,000 more. But it's the third guy who has only $1,000, like the least of the least, right? And he's scared to spend it. And he wraps up his money in a handkerchief and places it in his pocket. And what did Jesus say? He says that guy was condemned by his master. He was damned for not taking what was given to him and using it. And this is the invitation that we have as Christians. This is one of the important points that we make through the next step. That this is our tradition. This is our faith. This is what is real in our lives. And so I sat there in this car last week. By the way, the reason why I was listening to all this satellite radio was I was assigned to the Fowler St. Gregory Armenian Church, which is about a 3-hour trip from Los Angeles, from my house. I've been assigned there since August when the Reverend Father Yehia Haidabedian, the pastor of that church, passed away suddenly. And in August, the summer, I was able to get up 6 in the morning because we had sunlight at 6 in the morning. And I'd sit in my car and I'd be at the church by 9 o'clock, 9:15 at the latest. Now, because of the snow and rain on the way, what happened was, and wait, the snow and the rain was one thing, okay? We took a drive and we decided to go a day early. It took us, that 3 hours turned into almost a 5-hour trip. No. The 3-hour tour is something else. The 3-hour tour that turned into Gilligan's Island is something else. No, 3 hours turned into 5 hours on the road on Highway 99. But compounded to that was the return trip, which was at the end of the Thanksgiving holiday. So the 3-hour trip now turned into about 6 hours, 6.5 hours. So we had a chance to listen to this XM satellite radio. And I did listen to a few of the Billy Graham sermons. And I've got to tell you, you know, it's just mainline Protestant, which made me realize how different we are. And again, we are united in the essentials in our faith in Jesus Christ, but we approach things differently. But I don't know if this is a secondary issue. What I found in Billy Graham's teaching and in his thought process was an invitation to a future event. In other words, you need to be a Christian to guarantee your place at a future event, namely when Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead. Right? We believe this, that he is to come in the same body to judge the living and the dead. So there is a future judgment. But I found all of his teachings to be about getting ready and being in place and having this purpose and understanding because you are loved by God and that you are invited to be part of this great kingdom that is to come. And it went so counterintuitive. It went counter to what we talk about here on The Next Step, the idea that, hey, you know what? Yeah, there is a time, there is going to be a judgment, but we leave that to God who gets in there. Right now, how about making this the absolute best life you can possibly make it? This is what it's about. This life. Jesus came and the shepherds heard the voice of the angel saying, peace on earth, not peace in some future time, and goodwill towards men, towards humans, towards each other, not towards people to come, not at some point in the future, not with the angels, not with the saints, but with one another. In other words, get along and make that peace right now. And you think about it because, you know, just this last week we had Black Friday. I don't know if those of you in other countries can imagine this. You might have seen pictures of it. But people literally come and they fight to get deals because on Black Friday, many of the retailers mark down drastically their prices. Well, in actuality, we now find out that they make some lesser quality items that they can afford to sell at a lower price, namely electronics, which constantly goes down. The prices go down. I mean, I went out on Black Friday, 65-inch TV, 4K TV for $280. What? Possible? Yeah. It was just sitting there. And here's what was interesting this year. People weren't grabbing at them. Last year they were. But what does it tell you? That they're not grabbing at them now. It tells you that, you know, it's saturated. The market's saturated. How many TVs can you have? How many can you hang on to? How many can you watch? How many can you store? And so very unusual situation. And I'm looking at this Black Friday situation. And I remembered this quote by John Lennon. He says, if anyone demanded peace instead of another television set, there would be peace. And isn't that true? Isn't that true when you see the demand we have for the material objects in our lives? How about putting that towards the real treasures, namely that peace, that understanding, that love, that harmony that Jesus calls us to? And this is what I found foreign to me in Billy Graham's teachings. It was foreign just to be able to hear this evangelist talk about, well, you have to be ready for some future event, for the future time, so that you can get into heaven. You need to do these things. Fine. Well, that, you know, I'm not here to judge anybody else's faith. What I'm here to tell you is that there is another way of understanding, because Billy Graham kept on saying throughout his sermons that I was listening to, kept on saying, he says, the Bible tells us. No, the Bible doesn't tell you that. What Billy Graham understands the Bible to be saying is what you are being told. You get it? I could sit here and I could say, the Bible tells you this and that. What you're hearing really is that I'm telling you this is what I understand out of the Bible. And this is really one of the biggest dangers of Protestantism, is, and especially since the time of Luther, with when he came out with his statements, and he came out with this idea that, you know, scripture can be interpreted by anyone. Well, no, we don't say that it can be interpreted. This is a very, very big danger, because what one man understands, another man might see differently. And it's not really what Christ had said. So this is why you appeal to apostolic tradition and you go to the time of the apostles. In other words, you go to that moment when Jesus was talking. So important that the Bible is not the end all. Oh, yes, I can say that. And I know some people get offended by that. But I just want to remind you, before there was the Bible, there was the church. Before there was the Bible, there was the church. This is one of the fundamental understandings in Orthodoxy. The Bible is very, very holy. In fact, in the Arminian tradition, it's referred to as the breath of God. And as such, it is not placed in the hands of everyone. Because before there was the Bible, there was the church, which came together, the group of believers. You're saying, wait, Father Voskin, can you prove that to us? Yeah, it's really easy. On the day of crucifixion, Jesus at the cross, was there a Bible? No, there wasn't. No, there was no gospel. There was no written letters of Paul, Peter, James. No. There was no book of Revelation. How about at the resurrection? No, there was no Bible. How about at the day of Pentecost when the church started? No, there was no Bible. How about at the end of the first century? No, there was no Bible. End of the second, third, fourth century, end of the fifth century. Yeah, now we start seeing some stuff happening. In fact, beginning of the fifth century actually is when they finally canonized the book of Revelation as part of the entire canon of the Bible. By that I mean these are the scriptural books that belong to this collective called the Bible. But very important to understand that the apostolic church was there before the Bible was. And so I say these things because it is important to understand that when we come together as the next step, we're trying to also expand on an idea of Christianity which may seem foreign to many people, but has been the lifeblood of the majority of Christianity that began in the Middle East and continues today in the Middle East, but specifically in Armenia, this small little pocket where it was preserved. And it was interesting because the other day a friend sent me this new podcast that had come out, and the guy was trying to defend Armenian history pre-Christian. And that's all, yeah, there were Armenians before Christ, before Christianity was brought to Armenia. But don't forget, you know, without a language, without the ability to communicate with a lettering system, the letters that we got because of Christianity was really what solidified the nation. And so there's always this struggle that you have between nation and church, that people want to deny one without the other. But the way I talk about it here on The Next Step is, let's go for the guts. Let's listen to what Armenian Christianity is about. You don't need to buy into the nation. You don't need to buy into any of the hoopla. What you need to understand is, here is a pure form that was around at the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection, was brought to Armenia by not just somebody who had heard of Jesus, but somebody who lived with him for 3 years. Somebody who ate with him, who talked with him, who laughed with him, and cried with him. Thaddeus. Jude Thaddeus, one of the 12 disciples of Christ, brought the faith to Armenia. And because Armenia was so often surrounded by enemies, it basically kept it within itself. That's also an interesting interesting factor in what our faith is all about. So that's what we bring to you. That's what The Next Step has been about. And it's this idea that, no, it doesn't have to be this freaky kind of thing. It doesn't have to be surreal, but it is very real. Talking to us in the here and now. And so, as I promised you from the very beginning of today's show, this is not about letting the past cannibalize our today. It's understanding our place in the world today and appealing to that faith to define ourselves. This past week, we also had an opportunity to celebrate the literary achievements of His Eminence Archbishop Hovnan Derderian. And I had the honor of being the MC at that event. And one right after the other, we heard his many writings. But what I wanted to share with you from that portion, and by the way, I will put a link to some of his writings on today's show notes. But what was very unique about that presentation was that, you know, so often we talk about the church today. What are we doing today? Actually, Archbishop Derderian in his books has written prayers for today. And so it's very important that we understand that it's not just the past that can cannibalize our today, but to understand that we today are part of that living tradition, and we move forward, we are putting our mark on that faith and carrying that faith forward. That's what The Next Step is. That's what number 600 is all about. To the neophytes, to the disenfranchised, to all of you listeners, welcome to The Next Step.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. I don't want to let this time go by without without sharing with you an important project that we have at In His Shoes, namely our annual toy drive. And, you know, this is the Advent season, and each of the Sundays of Advent points us in a direction. This particular Sunday is the story about the great banquet and giving to people who have no way of giving something back to you. That's exactly what the toy drive is. It's a Christmas time expression, sharing God's love with people in a manner that cannot be reciprocated to us except by the good feelings and the love that we feel in our hearts. Don't do this because you want to get to heaven. Do it because it's the right thing of how you deal with your brother and sister. And so we have a toy drive. Takes place every Thanksgiving to Christmas. We're now in the, I believe this is the 22nd year that I've been doing it. And it's a way for us to share God's love with the most precious young children. So with that being said, I know you can't. We have boxes set up in Pasadena, in Glendale, and in Burbank. You've heard of those places, right? Yeah, pretty cool places. You do not have to come out to bring. I mean, I would love it if you came out to bring a toy. Yeah, you're welcome to come. Just look it up where you're going to take it and give me a call too if you're going to come out. If you're going to come out. But if you're not, here's a really easy way. There's a link on today's show notes to the toy drive. Click on it. It's the In His Shoes wish list of toys. Go ahead, pick out some toys. Buy those toys. Hit the purchase button and they will be sent to us. And every toy, guaranteed, large or small, will be given to children of domestic violence. And this is a unique group that we discovered a few years ago. These are kids who often get unnoticed because there's domestic violence, there's problems between spouses, between children who are in the way of those spouses. But a lot of times these young kids go unnoticed. They slip through the cracks and get picked up in a sweep after the parents have been taken away. So these toys that we're collecting go to those children. Be assured every one of them will get out to them. This is the annual In His Shoes toy drive. There is a link on today's show notes. Do the reading and you'll see all the cool stuff there. Also, this Sunday happens to be Children's Memorial, 7 o'clock local time. Wherever you are in the world, 7 o'clock local time, go outside, light a candle, because the idea is that our children watching from the heavens look down and they see this globe glowing in light from one time zone to the next. And so circular all the way around. Isn't that beautiful? That's a thought that came together with the Compassionate Friends, a group that pulls together people who are bereaved by the loss of children. We participate. This is now, again, 22 years that we've been doing it. This year, we're going to be in Pasadena. If you're out this way, please stop by. If not, wherever you are in the world, take a moment at 7 o'clock, your local time in the evening, 7 p.m. Go outside. Say a prayer, light a candle, and let your light shine. Again, go to our show notes. You'll find a link to this Sunday's event. Well, that about does it for me, and hope you enjoyed today's show. This is episode number 600, and we just made it through. Yes, we are high-fiving, and here's a ear high-five to you, our listeners. Join us on all the socials and, of course, at inissues.org. Drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net. On behalf of the wonderful people who have put today's show together, as well as most of those 600 that came before us, 99.9%. Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Vosgen, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath, cut out.